Amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The facts that Jesus reveals about himself should move us to faith. I mean, we shouldn't just learn facts and trivia about the Lord Jesus, but we should trust him as he reveals himself to be to his church. But often that's not the case. This is a new challenge for those who follow the Lord Jesus. To be sitting Lord's Day by Lord's Day, hearing the preaching of God's Word, learning the catechism, learning about Zechariah and Sunday school, this should move us to trust the Lord, that he is for us, that he will provide, protect, pardon our sins. But often when we face scary circumstances, rather than approaching them in faith, we are fearful, anxious, even angry or bitter against the Lord. And we see this with the 12 disciples. I had read verses 35 through 41, but what comes before this passage? Jesus has been teaching in parables. And these parables have created two groups of people. Those who have ears and do not listen to Jesus, and those who have ears and do listen. They hear Jesus' preaching and want more information. They want to know what is it that Jesus is teaching. And the disciples are in this privileged position of being those who are receiving extra office hours or tutoring sessions with the Lord Jesus. And verse 11, it says that the Lord gives to the disciples the mysteries of the kingdom. It's not that the disciples are just so studious and great listeners, but the Lord Jesus is committed to them and wants them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And in verse 34, he would explain all of the parables to his disciples. And so they have seen Jesus perform miracles. They've heard his public preaching and teaching, and they're also getting these private sessions where Jesus is teaching and explaining all things to them. So surely, if anybody's going to have strong faith, it's going to be the disciples of Christ, right? It's got to be the 12. And the answer is yes and no. Yes, later, their faith will grow. They will come to know the Lord Jesus and have such trust in him that for many of them, they will confess Christ as Lord in death. They will be martyred. But right now, no. Their faith needs to grow. The same is true for us here this morning. Regarding your faith, yes. The Lord Jesus has started a work in your life that he will bring into completion. Your faith will grow. But also, our faith is not what it should be. We actually need the Lord Jesus to grow us, that we would come to see how grand he is and to trust him, that everything that we learn about him in preaching from the Word would be met with trust, a deep confidence that this is true. The Lord will keep his promises and is for his church. Well, in our passage this morning, I'm going to give you four facts about Jesus and the Christian life. And I'll tell you beforehand, these four facts, it's not anything new. As I tell these four facts, you're not going to say, what great insight. That's very impressive. It's things that you know. And yet these are four facts that are often so hard to trust, to take comfort in. And that's what they should do. Well, here's the first fact. If you're in a boat with Jesus, you're going to get wet. What do I mean by that? We sometimes tell ourselves this lie that because I am following the Lord Jesus, I should never have to suffer. There should be no difficulty or trial for me. Being united to Christ should mean that I am living my best life. It sells books. It fills conferences. But this is not the case. Here we see that Jesus is with the disciples in the boat. They have such a nearness to the Lord Jesus, and yet they encounter a storm, one that they're certain is going to be the end of their lives. As I said, these facts that I've given you aren't going to be anything shocking. You know that simply being a follower of Christ does not mean you will not encounter trial. You know the verses. If anyone would follow the Lord Jesus, he will suffer. Philippians, where it says, it's been granted to you not only to believe in the gospel, but to suffer for his sake. And it's so much easier to say it right now. When you're with a church that you know and love, when you're preaching, and when thankfully you've just been sustained in a presbytery exam, things are looking well. You have peace. It's very easy to say, yes, I know that following Jesus doesn't mean I won't have hard times. But circumstances, when they change, can make that fact a whole lot harder to believe. I have a circumstance in mind. It's in our passage. Let's say there you are as a Jewish fisherman with your buddies, who are also mostly Jewish fishermen. And your rabbi says, hey, let's go to the other side. You're a bit curious, because why would he tell you to go to the Gentile territory? But you're listening to him, and so you get on the boat with the Lord Jesus, and you begin to sail out on the Sea of Galilee. And then all of a sudden you sense that the weather is changing. It's nighttime, so if it was actually in the day, you probably would have saw this a little bit earlier. The weather is changing, and you're getting kind of uncomfortable. And then you hear it. The strong winds. And you start squinting as the rain and the waves are beating against your face. And you are certain, oh, this is it. There's no way we're going to be able to survive this storm. You're feeling the water rise up in your legs because the water is getting into your boat. If you were a disciple at that time and you had one of these like little fancy heart rate watches, you're easily over 100. You're terrified. And you know that this is the end. But what is also true about the disciples as they are in this terrifying circumstance? The Lord Jesus loves them. They are chosen. Earlier, when Mark records the calling of the 12, this is how he records it in Mark 3, verse 13. And Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. The disciples were chosen by the Lord Jesus. He has committed himself to them. He has bestowed his love on the 12. It's not as if each disciple showed Jesus how worthy they were to be one of his followers. But the Lord Jesus chose them. And so is it true for you, Christian? You have been chosen by the Lord Jesus. And so while these disciples are in this terrifying circumstance, they are loved. And they are chosen. And of course, they have completely forgotten that. And we do that too. That when we are suffering, the last thing we believe is that the Lord loves us. Maybe for some of you right now, you are encountering such difficulty that you're offended that I would say to you that even in your suffering, brother or sister, the Lord loves you. And when we forget that, and we start talking to the Lord in the worst kinds of ways. And we see this with the disciples. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Let's break that down into basically two statements. One, you don't care. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but boy, isn't that a temptation when you are encountering suffering and difficulties to say to the Lord, well, you must not care. For me to be in this circumstance, for me to receive this diagnosis, to be in this trial, you don't care. And the second one is, we are perishing. This is the end of our lives. There is nothing that can be done. And this moves us to our next two facts. I'm going to give these right in order. Fact two. Again, nothing surprising. Jesus is not afraid of what you are afraid of. Jesus is not afraid of what you are afraid of. In fact three, what would be impossible for you to do is easy for Jesus. Here, the disciples are sure that this is the end of their lives, and they are panicking. And what is Jesus doing? Sleeping. I have to share, this is one of my favorite. For numerous reasons. One, you can always be assured that if you're taking a nap, that you are doing something godly, because the Lord Jesus himself takes naps. But second, who could take a nap at such a time as this? And it isn't a power nap, or as my grandmother would say, I'm just resting my eyes. Jesus is so deep in sleep that the disciples have to wake him up. Jesus is not afraid. He is resting. And when they wake Jesus up, he doesn't even answer their question. They did ask him a question, although it was more of a charge, but he doesn't even answer it. He doesn't respond to them. He turns right to the wind and the waves, and he deals with this windstorm like a parent dealing with a toddler who has a tantrum. Peace, be still, stop, relax. And the wind and the waves listen to him. It would be impossible for the disciples to think that they could pull that off. But Jesus is not afraid. Jesus is not limited. He is fully man and fully God. And Mark uses a very interesting word to talk about what Jesus did. If you look at verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind. You can rebuke children. You can rebuke someone being disrespectful. You can rebuke demons. We see that in Mark chapter 1. Jesus rebukes demons. But waves, wind. That's such an odd word. If we were here and a huge wave started to go up and was threatening to crush us all, and I was able to say to the wave, stop, or to the wind, stop, and it obeyed. If Dan was telling that story to someone, he's not going to say, we were all getting ready to die, and then Hunter rebuked the wind. He would say it was a miracle. I don't even know how it happened. Where is Mark getting this idea that rebuke is the word to use? The Old Testament. In fact, you see this so much that I had to be selective about what passages to read to you this morning. Here's from Nahum chapter 1, verse 4. As Nahum is thinking about the Exodus account, he rebukes the sea and makes it dry. Psalm 89, verse 9. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. In Psalm 107, verses 28 through 29, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Jesus is, as I said, fully man and fully God. Which means that he can sympathize with our weakness. When we are afraid, it's not as if Jesus shames us for the mere fact of being afraid. But when that fear moves us to distrust the Lord, to accuse him of doing nothing as we perish, saying that Jesus is essentially asleep at the wheel of our lives, this is an unbelief that the Lord Jesus will call out in the disciples. Again, the two facts that I gave was that Jesus is not afraid of what you're afraid of. And so, what do you got going on in your life that's terrifying you right now? I have no idea how this is going to work out. What are you so confident about that is going to be your end? A pain that will continue. A dark cloud that will never pass in your life. It is a great comfort to know that the Lord Jesus is not afraid. Because it's not as if Jesus says, oh, you're terrified of that? That's terrible. I'm not afraid. But he is working on your behalf. He is not only afraid of the situation that the disciples are in, but because he is also fully God, he delivers them. He is able to do what you can't. So the children of the church, I don't know if you've been having any nightmares recently, but some of my children have. And what I thought was so wonderful about this verse is that we see Jesus sleeping. But we know that Jesus isn't sleeping now. When you go to bed at night, if you are getting a little bit fearful or worried, you can take great confidence knowing that the Lord Jesus is not sleeping. That when you go to bed, he is protecting you and watching over you. And he is working in your life so that you would grow in holiness and come to see how amazing Jesus is. So when you go to sleep, you can rest and sleep because the Lord Jesus is with you. And it would be kind of ignorant for me to think that children are the only people who have difficulty sleeping sometimes. The same is true for all of you, my brothers and sisters. You can sleep. Because the Lord Jesus is not afraid of what's coming in the next week. And he is with you to help you. And here's our last fact. Jesus expects you to have faith in him. Again, none of these facts are shocking. You know this. Jesus expects you to have faith in him. We see this with his response to the disciples. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have seen me preach, teach, perform miracles, and yet you are still so certain that you're going to perish on this boat with me? How is it that you have failed to see not only that Jesus is God, but he is God with you, leading you, teaching you, and building you up? Well, what about the disciples of Christ right here in Bumo? I have great confidence that you knew these four facts. But are you trusting in them? Are you taking any comfort knowing that when you are encountering difficulties, you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ and you will share in his glory? When we have faith in Christ, we make the movement that Peter does. Here is Peter on the boat with Jesus, terrified. But after the resurrection and Jesus sends his spirit to his people and Peter is writing to the church, what does he say? Don't be surprised when the trials come. What has brought about this change? Has Peter become more bold? Is he a tough guy now? He has come to place his faith fully in what the Lord Jesus has done, who he is and what he continues to do by his Spirit in the church. Do not be surprised, friends, when trials come. It doesn't mean you're unloved. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't in the boat with you. In fact, sometimes the trials that we encounter, Jesus leads us into them. Remember, they're on this sea because the Lord said, "Let's go to the other side." When you are afraid, do you remind yourself that Jesus is not afraid? When you're telling yourself, "I can't," do you believe that Jesus can? Jesus, friends, expects you to believe in Him because He has done so much for His church that we have every reason to trust Him. We should not bring some skepticism towards the Lord Jesus because He has always been faithful to us, even when we have responded in faithlessness. This week, you are going to encounter some difficulties. You're going to get wet as you're in the boat with Christ. Trust that He is with you and that He is working all things in your life for your spiritual good and for His glory. Anchor your faith and hope in that, friends. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are faithful. We thank You that You are so committed to us, that You live to intercede on our behalf, and that You are with us as we encounter difficulties and trials. Give us rest. Help us to join the psalmist that when we are in trouble, that we would cry out to You in our distress and know that You will deliver us.